In the meantime, an auspicious occasion today, the 100th year of the ratification of prohibition in this country. What was it like around here? Bo Simons is on the KSRO live line. He's a retired wine librarian and historian from the Sonoma County Wine Library. Good morning, Bo.
Hey, good to be here.
I'm curious, before prohibition 100 years ago, what was the wine industry like here? Was there
one? The wine industry in Sonoma County was recovering from a depression in the 1890s and a lot of consolidation. The California Wine Association was like a trust that was made by giant wineries kind of falling into each other and controlled about eight, made Gallo look like a piker, you know? They were fighting, as was every alcohol producer, the rising tide of prohibition, which is an interesting national phenomenon in itself.
That's for sure. Yes. So when prohibition hit in Sonoma County, what happened? I mean, were there speakeasies all over the place? Did production stop? Was it just sent underground? What happened?
A little of everything. Speakeasies came about as kind of a national thing, and it's tough to historically find out where they all were because they were supposedly secret,
yeah.
But everybody knew about them. The Stonehouse Inn on Highway 12 was one that got raided fairly regularly, but they seemed to be tipped off before people came, and they never found any liquor there.
Strange. It's very strange.
there were just about every, you know, Italian grocery store and deli. Probably you could buy wine in the if you knew who to ask. And there were a number of bars around where the wine industry itself survived in a number of ways. You could all overnight the wineries had an inventory that was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and then legally was worth nothing.
Right.
And so they could own it, but they couldn't sell it legally. But a lot of it got sold, and people have talked about a rash of fires and stuff that occurred about 4 or 5 years into prohibition as those tanks became empty somehow and then they were burned up and people could claim the insurance.
I have a feeling I have an idea at least on how they became empty, but
yeah, and there were some, like Foppiano had a big thing in 1926 when for some reason, the Internal Revenue Service, or the precursors to that, came, and the precursors of also to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms,
right.
Now the TTB, came out and poured 160,000 gallons of his wine into a ditch, and people from Healdsburg kind of ran out and tried to drink it as it was going towards the Russian River.
Get the jug.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Bo. How long did it take our wine industry to recover once prohibition was repealed?
Well, one of the interesting things that helped save the wine industry was that there was a thing called the Fresh Fruit Clause in the Volstead Act that enabled prohibition, and it was a little thing that was put in by apple farmers in Washington to protect their hard cider industry.
Yeah.
And it said that every head of household could make legally, if they got a permit, and all you had to do was write for a permit, 200 gallons of fruit juice, they called it, and so that was the home wine clause. When the wine people glommed onto that, the value of grapes for about the first two-thirds of prohibition from 1919 to the late 20s went up. Vineyards where they were getting $9.50 a ton for grapes, all of a sudden guys in suits were out there going to these old grape farmers and offering them 30, 40,
sure,
50, up to $100 a ton.
Yeah, and they're still working on the fruity aspect of it, even at this stage of the game. Well, Bo, we're going to have to invite you back to talk more about this very interesting subject of the wine country during Prohibition. Thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
That is Bo Simons, and he is from the Sonoma County Wine Library. Lots of interesting stories there.